And that summer of 1967, changes took place in your life. I said, YOU, that brought you here this afternoon. I don't know what they are. I don't know what took place in your life. I don't know what it was. But some forces were released in the heavenlies that began to work for your benefit. But how many have noticed that many times when God is working for our benefit, we think all hell broke loose? And instead of a marriage, it was a divorce or some such thing as that. You see, you understand what I'm talking about. But whatever it was, that which was hell really worked for your benefit, though at the moment you didn't believe it. How many have noticed it's very, very difficult to bring comfort to people who are walking out their lives while God is in control? You didn't catch that. Some of you laughed at the right part of the joke. And one guy says, "Woo!" Indicating that he knows what I'm talking about. For when God's in control of our lives, it just seems like everything's falling apart. I'll tell you, when God is in control, and I pray, I'm convinced that God is on vacation in Miami. You know what I mean, don't you? Because of the maturity that you've gone through. Now, I'm calling your attention to the fact that in 1967, major things took place. And one of them was a main conference over in Bilderberg. Does the word Bilderberg mean anything to anybody here? Bilderberg. Have you heard that word? That's when the Rothschilds and the international bankers got together and they made an announcement in August of 1967. And they said, the world has run out of gold. There's not enough gold in the world anymore to back the monetary systems. So we've come up with a new idea and we're calling it paper gold, or SDR, special drawing rights. Does anybody here remember anything? And will you tell the others I'm telling you the truth? Somebody raise your hands. Hold your hands up for a minute. The others turn around and look for just a minute. The idea is, I'm not making it up. We have enough people here who remember it. Okay, good enough. The point made. All right. The point is that I'm not just creating a story. That we have people who remember those things. Now, what happened was that we gave to the Rothschilds permission, blank checks, and whenever the world needed more money, then they would write a check, sign their name to it. There was nothing to back it except their name. Then the printing presses of the governments would print money that would back that check, and then the nations would have money then to, the governments could then give it to their banks, and the banks could then loan it to us, and each one of us would pay interest on money that was created at the stroke of a pen. Called special drawing rights. And the failure of the government since 1967 began to topple, one after another after another, and the banks began to topple, one after another after another. And it seems like you people in Virginia should have been paying attention to what happened in Maryland. And us people in Pennsylvania surely should, because we had Ohio on one side and Maryland on the other. And there are people in Ohio and Maryland right now who cannot withdraw their money out of the bank at this moment. Now, many of you remember when I taught these lessons and said it was going to happen, don't you?
Yes.
You remember those things. You remember when I said it was going to happen. And at that time, it was a little hard to hear Brother Ebaugh and believe what he was saying. Come on, tell the truth. It was hard to believe it. How many have discovered it's a lot easier now? He must have seen something. He must have known something. He was told us in 1967 these things were going to happen, just like they're happening. I didn't say that Ohio would be the first state and Maryland would be the second, because I didn't have that kind of detail. But I told you it would be just exactly like this. Now, there was one area where people are kind of on me right now, because I said that by now we would be having double-digit inflation. Instead, we got Reagan. And Reagan is holding the inflation to a single digit, about 4.5, rather than the normal 7.5, that the Federal Reserve System has said would be all right. So he is actually backing off on the inflation rate by several points to the benefit of the bankers and insurance companies and to the detriment or hurt of the blue-collar worker. You didn't catch that, and I'll explain it more later. Okay, why are we saying these things? I'm saying them because I want you to hear something. I told you so. Of all the words of tongue or pen, I told you so is the worst of them. It makes people mad. How many have noticed that? I told you so! Don't you remember your mother saying that? I told her so! And it just makes us mad. And why? We don't want to be told. We want to learn it for ourselves. But something about your spirit decided to come here to listen to a Bible teacher this afternoon who might tell you so. Maybe if he was able to tell us those things, he can tell us some more. Maybe he can show us what's happening and why things are the way they are. And perhaps we might receive some benefit. Now, in 1972, I told you to go out and borrow all the money you could and invest in your productive capacity. You remember those things. And what would have happened if you would have done that? Well, a few people did it. And every one of them who listened and had the opportunity, that's also important, had the opportunity, and one other thing, the productive capacity. You didn't catch that. Mm-hmm. The rules that I'm giving are for productive people. That is, strong men and women with good heads. You understand, people who are producing, not necessarily those of us whose situation in life doesn't allow us to be as productive. And so I'm talking about productive people now, and every one of them who did that are millionaires in their own right. Right now, borrowing back when you could still get it for 6%. You know, and then I was talking to a man this morning whose loan is 21%. And you know these things are true. And how many know that if you can borrow at 6 and loan at 21, you make money? Well, how much money can we make, Brother Ebaugh? How much money can I make by putting my savings out to interest? Somebody pray that I'll find it. I need the chart. This is the money management. I need the chart that I just made. Well, if it isn't here, let me try this one. Are you praying that I'll find it? All right. Pray harder. Come to the end. Somebody's not praying hard enough. You did it. How much money will we make? I passed out a paper for you last night. Some of you had a chance to look at it, some didn't. Now, I would like for you to do me a favor and not look at that paper right now. Just leave that aside. I'll try to be as interesting as the paper is, or hopefully more. And I'll try to share with you some of the things that are in that paper in a way so that later on you can look at it yourself. But for my own benefit, how many of you have had a chance to read this paper on usury? A few. All right, a few have had that opportunity. Anybody find something new in it? Did you find it worthwhile to spend the time, even though it was 12 pages? We're sending this out to 8,000 people now, and I don't know what's going to happen, only the Lord knows. Okay, we're going to start a bank. And we're going to find out about usury and putting your money out and making interest on it. And how many know that the Bible says you're not to do it? All right, I'm going to tell you. The Bible says don't do it. Now, how many know you're not to do it? We got a few more. Somebody read Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35, and we'll find out whether you're to do it or not. 25:35. Somebody said, well, Brother Ebal, we're not under the law, we're under love, and we're not getting our rules from the Old Testament. That's true. But how many know that the Old Testament is a type and a shadow? You didn't catch that. It's a type and a shadow, and we learn from the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. So no time, I don't want anyone to feel condemnation. Brother Ebal is not here to bring condemnation for the 5% you're getting on your money that you have in your savings account. You understand that? If you got some money and you're bringing in 5%, I'm not here to condemn you on it. I'm here to bless you and say, praise the Lord, I wish it was more. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible says that is not the way to make money. And it even says if you put your money out to usury and make money on usury, it's against the law, it's against the same Tesava commands as the Ten Commandments. And for those of you who have been finding fault with other people for their Christian walk and have got a little $200 in the bank, I'm going to tell you, you are as guilty of breaking the law as the worst sinner in this country. Boy, you ought to see the faces now. How they've turned against me. You're calling me a sinner? Well, honey, if you're going to get to heaven through the Old Testament, you'll never get that way with $100 in the bank. Did you understand what I said? For that's against the law. You're going to have to find another way into heaven besides keeping the law. Okay, give it to me. And did you find that in Leviticus 25:35? Leviticus 25, verse 35.
And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him.
Now this word usury has to do with interest. You understand what I'm saying now? You're not to take any interest of your brother. Go ahead, Brother Glenn.
Or increase.
Increase, that's interest.
But fear the God that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God.
All right. Now, how many know that God said don't do it? How many know God said don't do it? Raise your hands, please. Father, wake up the others who didn't raise their hands and cause them to flow with us or be extremely antagonistic one way or the other, because I can't stand the lukewarm. And either flow with us or poke me in the nose one way or the other, but don't just sit there. How many know that God said, don't do it? All right. Now, I didn't get poked in the nose. Not yet. Well, I'm getting to that, John. Now, just one step at a time. You can't do that to your brother, and John's right. We'll have those scriptures in a minute. But let's just play like we're going to do it anyhow. How many know we've been doing it anyhow? I've been doing it anyhow. Hey, I can remember I was on a ship and I needed $10 because Liberty was coming and payday was another week away, and I needed $10 because those were the days when we could handle $10 would give you a good weekend. That tells you how old I am. But anyway, and so I went up to the cook because he always had money, and I said, loan me $10. And it was understood that when I paid it back, he got 11. You know what I'm talking about, you see. And so that's the way we worked, and that's the way it was. So we get our money back. Now, we're going to have some scriptures in a little while. I'm going to try to prove to you that the standard Babylonian was 20%. And I've chosen 20% for this chart because it's easy to work with. 10 and 20 are easy to work with. And you can use anything you want, but I decided to start my bank with $100,000. Now, would you agree that starting a bank with $100,000 is a very great start? A very moderate start. And, of course, I don't have $100,000, but we got together and we decided to put our money together and we had $100,000. The year I chose for this chart was 1776 to start our bank. Does anybody think they can figure out why I chose 1776? What year? What was that? The start of our nation. And we needed a bank. And that was a good idea. Let's become bankers. And we're going to start a bank and we're going to get 20% on our money. Well, the first year, we'll have how much money?
$100,000.
Now, after the first year, we get to the second, we have how much money?
$100,000.
How many understand this principle? Now, we've also decided that we're not going to withdraw from the bank. The bank is going to keep the money in the bank, and it's going to compound. Did you hear that word, compound? How many understand compound interest? What the interest goes back into and is loaned out as principal to the next borrower. Nod your head if you understood that basic principle. We're not going to pour it out. We're not going to live off of it. We're going to live off the corn we planted, not the money. We're going to allow the money to compound. So therefore, by the second year, or the third year, after it's been in there 2 years, we'll have how much money?
$144,000.
By the 25th year, what will we have? $7 million. I mean, by the 25th year, just leaving that money in, compounding, it'll be $7 million. I've made the chart. I printed it for you. I even gave it to your laps last night, and I'm going to send it to you in the mail so that you can check me out. Get yourself a computer. By the way, your computers don't have enough zeros and don't have enough columns in your computers for this, so you'll have to learn to adjust for your zeros, adjust the columns, like I had to learn on my computer. So, by the time I'm at the 50th year, I'll have $526 million. By the time I'm in 1976, which is the 200th year, I will have $571 quintillion. And how many know that the word quintillion is a word that we don't understand? It's a word that's beyond our comprehension. And 210 years later, the year of this particular chart, I will have $3.6 trillion. Out of my initial investment of $100,000. My friends, $3.6 trillion, or the interest in 1 year for the year 85-86, I will have $589 quintillion interest on the sextillion that I own. Now, if these words are hard for you, you start with million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion, octillion, I forget the one for the what?
Nine,
whatever it is, it comes from Spanish. And on it goes. But friends, what this means, these are numbers that you just cannot comprehend. Admit that. So let's try to put it in perspective. If I would have done this and put my money out at compound interest, then the total of all the people in the world working 1 whole year and taking every cent that they earned, not 20% in taxes, but every cent they earned, still couldn't pay the interest you owe me. And that, my friends, is exactly what has already happened. And we call it the Federal Reserve System. We call them the international bankers. And we own our lives and souls right now to the Federal Reserve System, the international bankers. And if you and I worked all day long, every day, and they took every cent, there still wouldn't be enough money to pay them the interest we owe them. Now that's where we are at the moment. It's interesting to me that the one saint said to the other saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, transgression, and desolation to give both sanctuary, truth, host, and star to be underfoot? And he said unto 2,300 years. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, the stars will be set back in place, and all the other things that have been ruined will start to be put back in shape. By 1967, we came to the point where we owed more than we could produce per year to one family. When I was a boy going through grade school, my teacher taught me that every government fails after 200 years. How many remember hearing that in school? After 200 years, every government fails. And then they showed us how every government goes along, and then 200 years it fails. Every government goes along, 200 years it fails. How many think they're beginning to see why? For every government dedicates itself to the preservation of its money system. And in dedicating itself to the preservation of the money system, like Reagan has, they build within themselves the seeds of their own destruction. You can catch that. If you don't preserve, if you do preserve this usury idea, then you have to make decisions which will either favor the bankers or the nation. And in so doing, you destroy the nation because of the contracts you enter, because of that chart. How many think they're understanding a little bit more about compound interest? Now, we have told you, and I know you've got it on some of your tapes and back in the old days, that compound interest is on the exponential scale, and as it goes to the what we call the abscissa of the chart, then it gets to the point where it's so astronomical that the numbers are so big that we can't deal with them. How many saw some numbers you can't deal with? They're so big you can't deal with them. Now, I've given them to you. I'm even sending them to your own post box in your own house to let you study them and see whether these things are right. But I'm going to tell you, you have a chart right now that shows you why this government must fail. For it's dedicated to the preservation of that chart. And you can't do it. There's not enough money to pay the interest on our debts. So it was only a few years ago, by 1972, that the big national bankers knew that there weren't corporations big enough to float the loans that were necessary to show that kind of an interest. So instead of taking money to people like Chrysler and General Motors, they took money to people like President somebody in Mexico and that guy in Argentina. And they started making money, loans to governments in 1972 instead of people, because they were the only ones who could float such a large loan. By 1984, the governments are saying, but we do not have the productive capacity now to make enough money in our whole nation to pay the interest on the loan. We're not going to pay you any more money. The international banker says, oh no, don't ever say that. Don't say you won't pay the money back. Here, let me print some more money and I'll loan it to you so that you can give it back to me. Now, somebody who listens to television news at night, say that's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's what they're doing. That's right. That's what they're doing. And so the nations say, well, how's that going to hurt me? I'll just go ahead and sign your paper, take your money, loan, and give it back to you. That gives me another year at least. I'm buying time. We are banking, well, in a sense, our nation has co-signed with all the other nations. We are aware of that. We have co-signed their loans. So if they default, we have to pay. And the way they fixed that just recently, I can talk to you about that. They combined the portfolios of all of the farmers this is the weirdest thing, but they actually did this, and you can find this in New York Times, that'll tell you. The international bankers, that is your Chase Manhattan and all, took the portfolios of all the farmers in the United States and combined those portfolios with the deficit of the other countries, Mexico and so forth. Now the farmers have a positive. They own more than they owe. Total. So since they own more than they owe, they combined that with the guys who owed more than they owned, so that on the final balance of the bank, it looked like the bank was still solvent. You didn't catch that? They made the farmers of the United States second signers on Mexico's loans.
This Bible teaching by David Ebel will continue on cassette number 2.